It's exciting to see bodies of water back where they used to be. Shasta Lake, for example, is full for the first time in half a decade. Redding is running 15 inches ahead of its rainfall total from a year ago. El Nino did indeed deliver rain to California last winter in amounts not seen in years, but also not seen evenly distributed across the state. Just the same, water management agencies, including the California Water Resources Control Board, have moved to lift many drought restrictions, which troubles some scientists and conservation groups. We can talk to both in one person. Dr. John Rosenfield is a conservation biologist and the lead scientist at the Bay Institute. Thanks for joining us today on The Exchange.
Good morning, Jeff.
So let's start from with the water situation now. From your analysis, is the drought over?
No, the drought is definitely not over. We thankfully received, especially in Northern California, more rainfall than we'd seen in several years over this past winter. But we're still down 3 or 4 years worth of water. The previous three, four years were really, really bad. So we're playing catch up, and what we had was a normal to slightly above average amount of precipitation this winter in the northern part of California. The southern part of California didn't achieve normal levels of rainfall, and so they're hurting even worse this year. It's good to have gotten some rain, but we're by no means out of the woods.
And how have the government bodies in charge of water acted since the rains picked up?
Well, it's been a really mixed message. On the one hand, the state of California eliminated its very successful mandatory conservation standards for urban areas that had saved over 1 million acre-feet of water while they were in effect, and those were waived this year so that municipalities could make their own rules about how much water to save or how much to restrict people's water use. So that would indicate that, the drought is over and there's plenty of water to go around. But on the other hand, the same, similar state agencies continued to cut protections for clean water and fisheries, in particular in the Central Valley and the San Francisco Bay Estuary. And the reason to cut those environmental safeguards was given as, well, it's a drought and people, we still need to get water to largely to agricultural agencies, water districts for distribution to farms. We're left wondering, well, which is it? Are we still in a drought where we need to cut the very baseline standards that protect our environment? Or is there enough water that people can go and water their yards and wash their cars?
Let me see if I understand the logic that you just cited here. So what they're saying is that we need to lift the restrictions, but we have to do it because it's still a drought.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's the environmental standards that are in place. First of all, are known not to be adequate after years and years of scientific review. We know that our fisheries are collapsing. We know that water quality in the Sacramento San Joaquin Delta, that's at the head of the San Francisco Bay Estuary, is having increased incidences of toxic algal blooms that are related to low flows. So we know that these standards are not adequate, and the only reason that one would cut them would be if there was really, really an emergency in terms of getting people water, say, to drink. There hasn't been that kind of emergency throughout the drought, yet these standards have been cut multiple times at the great expense of endangered fisheries, but also commercial fisheries, water quality, and other public uses of Central Valley rivers and the San Francisco Bay. And again, the excuse has always been, it's a drought and it's an emergency and we have to get water to various economic sectors. Again, people's drinking water that's controlled by these regulations was not ever in doubt. So it's been cut the environmental safeguards in order to get one more year of water or a few months more water to basically farms in the San Joaquin Valley that are growing tree crops that can't do without water or else the trees will die.
John Rosenfield is a conservation biologist and the lead scientist at the Bay Institute. Has the Bay Institute registered its displeasure with the lifting of restrictions?
Yeah, we have on numerous occasions. this year, in fact, what we found is not only have the environmental safeguards, water quality protections, been lifted by the State Water Resources Control Board, which we objected to, but even the reduced standards, even the reduced protections that the State Water Board implemented have not been met. Across the board, really, the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation, which is the federal operator, owner and operator of many dams in the Central Valley, is responsible for meeting these water quality standards and fisheries protection standards. And even the reduced standards that they argued for and that they got have not been met. So they're violating water quality standards throughout the Central Valley and the San Francisco Bay estuary.
Give us a sketch of the Bay Institute and all the things you do.
Well, the Bay Institute has been in operation for over 30 years, and we're a science and policy advocacy organization. We do research largely using publicly available data from collected from government agencies to analyze the effect of the state and federal government's policies of managing water in the San Francisco Bay's watershed and its effect on fish and wildlife species. And we bring those analyses to public agencies with policy recommendations for how to better protect our environment.
In your view, how hard is it generally to get the kinds of water restrictions you think should be in place?
Oh, it's extremely hard. I mean, the water quality standards that we're talking about that the State Water Resources Control Board has lifted for the past several years and then failed to enforce were really last updated in the Clinton administration. These are water quality standards that come from the Federal and State Clean Water Act, and they're supposed to be updated every 3 years, reviewed and updated as necessary every 3 years, but they haven't received a substantive update going on 20 years now. And everyone who's analyzed as from the State Water Resources Control Board itself to the State Fish and Game, Fish and Wildlife Department, Federal Fish and Wildlife Service, U.S. EPA, et cetera, everyone has realized that the current standards are nowhere near protective enough of our public resources, clean water, fisheries, places to swim, water to drink, et cetera. And so the State Water Board has been in the process of reviewing and updating these standards for many, many, many years now, but hasn't managed to get the ball over the line with the more protective standards that we know that we need. And then to make matters worse, as we pointed out this year, it's not even enforcing the standards that it has. So we're really in a bad situation when there are laws that aren't being adequately implemented in terms of the standards, and then even the standards aren't enforced.
John Rosenfield, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, conservation biologist and lead scientist at the Bay Institute. We're talking about the easing of drought restrictions in California by the Water Quality Control Board and other entities. It seems that apart from what any body in a position of power does, there's often a disconnect anyway between the reality of the drought and the continued use of water. I mean, we had a lot of drought shaming going on the last couple of years because it seemed like a lot of people were oblivious to the effects of the drought and what it would mean for people and their use of water.
Well, certainly I think the drought has been a wake-up call for every Californian and both state and federal agencies that manage our water, that our water use is unsustainable, right? We have rivers that are turned into dry riverbeds, even when it's not a drought. We have the level of the surface of the earth collapsing in many parts of the San Joaquin Valley because of overtapping groundwater resources, overtapping the aquifer and permanently degrading it. We have our fish populations, numerous fish populations headed towards extinction and our salmon fishery closing. And that's really highlighted a situation that goes on even when there's not a drought. I mean, that's the thing I think to get across is our use of water is unsustainable even when there's not a drought. And we really have to get a grip on that or our fisheries will disappear, our water quality will become toxic. Endangered species will disappear. The surface of the earth will continue to drop, doing damage to public infrastructure. And even if we let all that happen, the conflicts over water will continue to increase because our use so outpaces the supply.
So what are some of the basic, I mean, it's not like anybody's going to say, well, let's move 6 million people out of California or something like that. So, I mean, what if there needs to be a reframing of the discussion, where does that begin?
Well, I think it's got to begin with how water is, you know, allocated to various uses in California and how we provide for our beneficial uses. I mean, water in the state of California is owned by the people of California. That's straight from the state constitution, and the public's interest in water and other resources dates way back before the formation of the state or even the country. And so those uses, those common uses for the public, have to be maintained first. After that, we have a water rights system that allocates water based on, you know, if your claim was first in time, then you have first in right to divert water from a river. And most of that water that's being diverted from our rivers is going to the state's agricultural sector. About 4 drops out of every 5 that people take out of the river goes to agriculture. And we all like agriculture. We like to eat food. But California has, over the past several decades, become the production hub of crops that are just not sustainable in this kind of environment, the environment that California has, where it rains a lot in some years and then doesn't rain at all for many years. So nut tree crops like almonds, walnuts, pistachios, you know, have begun to blanket the entire Central Valley, certainly the San Joaquin Valley, from the Pacific Crest, you know, the coastal crest to the foothills of the Sierra. And trees require water every year that they live, and their productive life is about 30 years. So planting that many trees is really a statement about the security of water and the reliability of the water supply. People who've planted that many trees in the San Joaquin Valley, which is a semi-arid, you know, near desert, are saying we are banking on the fact that we're going to have water for 30 years, and that's just an unreasonable bet to make in that part of California. And then when the rains don't come, when the snow doesn't come, then there's this manipulation of the water delivery system, because you know these people are saying, well, we're going to lose our investment, and so give us more water, more water, more water. We'll pump more water out of the ground. We'll take more water out of the rivers. We'll have the reservoirs operated to serve to subsidize our bad bet on trees. Meanwhile, our public resources, fisheries, clean water, etc., are going to hell in a handbasket. And once those public resources disappear, we cannot get them back. Right? Extinction will be forever. Closure of the fisheries will result in a situation where we don't reopen the public fisheries. And, you know, that's a trade-off of a few years of economic gain for the private sector versus the loss of public resources that, you know, belong to all Californians.
John Rosenfield, has the Bay Institute enumerated its desired approach? I mean, are we talking about potentially bulldozing groves of nut trees and replacing those with crops that you can make a choice year by year whether or not to replant?
Well, we've definitely enumerated our approach in various forms. We have publications on our website that, you know, show where in California water savings vast amounts of water can be saved and water can be reused. And the message, you know, is that people have done the average citizen of California, especially last year, did a great job of saving water. And I think people are realizing, hey, it's not really that hard to save water, and you know, I can switch out my lawn or replace at least parts of my lawn with something that's more sustainable in this kind of environment and not really lose much of anything. You know, I can do without washing my car as often, for instance. And so the average citizen of California has done a fantastic job of saving water. The city of Los Angeles, you know, learned from the last drought in the late 1980s, early 1990s, and they've reduced the water use per capita by a ton. And so the city of Los Angeles is actually using about the same water now as it did back in the early 1990s, despite a lot of population growth. So there are solutions to our water use problems that are right in front of us, right? It doesn't even require heavy investment in desalinization or, you know, which might energetically be not so viable. There are solutions that are right in front of us. And yes, some of it is going to come from a rationalization of our agricultural sector use. It doesn't mean bulldozing farms and, you know, not allowing people to plant crops. It means helping people to plant the right crops and making that an economically viable decision for them, rather than the situation where we have public dams, public canals, public pumps taking water out of public rivers, delivering it, you know, uphill to a water district that's invested in nut tree crops, for instance, that are or cotton that is not a viable crop. And then once that water reaches the pipe, the end of the pipe where it comes out into the farmer's field, then we're claim that it's you know, the private sector and it's a free market. I mean, it's not a free market. This is a public resource that's going to private use. We want people to farm. We want them to do it sustainably and to plant crops that make sense for the state of California so that we can all benefit from this limited and precious resource that we have, which is our fresh water.
Even the practical considerations aside, is there a symbolic value in keeping drought restrictions in place, just keeping people used to the idea of conserving water?
Absolutely. I mean, the people in this state have begun to realize, and new people are always coming, so we need to educate new people who are coming into the state as well, that the state of California doesn't have a high, reliable supply of water. There's plenty of water for everybody to have water to drink and bathe and for all of the industries in the state to produce, you know, this vast economic engine. But there's not enough water to just use it as if there was an unending supply. We could always get more, and we can do whatever we want with it because, you know, it's a free country or something like that. It is a free country, but we live in a society, and within a society there are rules that govern how one person or one industry can affect everybody else. So keeping the drought conservation rules in place makes total sense. People need to come to grips with the fact that California is very often in a drought, right? We call it a drought, but it's really a very common state for California, and we need to live within the amount of water that we have during a drought. And when there's an abundant supply and really wet years, well, that's great, and we can, you know, put the water to work for us and let it support our natural ecosystems and do other things with it. But most of the time, we're going to be living as though we're in a drought because that's what nature provides to us.
Final question, John. I know the Bay Institute has filed a complaint with Cal EPA. What's the timeline on hearing back from about that complaint on the lifting of the drought restrictions?
Well, we don't know what the timeline for response is, and obviously every day that goes by and with water being delivered to certain uses and being kept from providing the natural benefits that flowing water provides is a day that we jeopardize our natural resources, which we might lose and not be able to get back. Our complaint, really, though, was not about the lifting of the drought conservation standards that had been applied to urban agencies. I mean, we saw that as a very, very mixed message, but our complaint officially to the board was about numerous violations of water quality standards in the Stanislaus River, in the San Joaquin River, in the Sacramento-San Joaquin Delta, and in the Sacramento River that were ongoing at that time. Some of them are still ongoing. And, these are water quality standards. They are the law. The U.S. Bureau of Reclamation is required to meet these standards, and it's just failing across the board to meet standards, in some cases standards that have been reduced at the Bureau of Reclamation's request, and using their modeling to say what they could meet. The standards were reduced to that level, and the Bureau of Reclamation is still continuing to violate the law, basically, and its permits to operate dams. So that was our complaint to the State Board, was that they need to begin to enforce their own regulations and the safeguards that protect our fisheries and our water quality.
We will see what comes of that complaint. John Rosenfield is conservation biologist and lead scientist at the Bay Institute. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you very much, Jeff.
All right, take care.